May the peace of Christ be upon you as we gather into the sacred space to worship the living God. Let us prepare our hearts and minds.
Glad you're here this morning to worship with us. Tis the season of rain. I think I know how Noah felt right now. And I saw a cartoon on Facebook this week. It says, Noah, where are we? I think we're in North Carolina. But we want y'all to sing the call to worship with us this morning. Step by step, let's stand together and let's worship together this morning.
To welcome you here into the house of God at First Baptist Elon. Raise your hand if you're feeling sick today. A couple of you. Y'all see that hand? As the old evangelist would say, I see that hand. Today we have a lot of folks with sniffles, and in the old days when you gave when you were taking speech classes, they would tell you to put a certain number of marbles in your mouth and try to give your speech. Today I'm trying to see how many cough drops I can put in my mouth and still communicate with you. So bear with us all as we are sick. It is a rainy, sick season, but God is still good. And God is still with us and brings us into a warm and dry place like this that we should not hesitate to take take into account how precious this place is and how fortunate we are to have the freedom to worship in such luxury. There are people all over the world today hobbled together in huts, gathered together in secret, finding far corners of the village to get away from the rest, just to have a moment to sit down and pray together. And so we are certainly blessed indeed. We're blessed tonight by and other activities and opportunities, and hope you'll take the time to look at that in your bulletin. We have a fellowship meal at 5. That is not just for those attending Bible study. If you're not coming to the men's Bible study or the women's Bible study, that's fine. We still want to fellowship with you. We'll still play with you. So come and be a part of that tonight, that meal. And then, of course, we do have the men's and women's Bible study. The final ones are tonight at 5:30. And then youth movie night is tonight from 5 to 7:30 with food, right? Right, with food. So keep that on your radar tonight, too. There are many other opportunities as well as prayer needs. And so if you're a visitor with us first time today, a couple of things you should know about. One, we do have prayer cards on the back of the pew in front of you. If you have anything you'd like to share with our prayer team or our deacon team, they lift those up every Sunday. You can either place that in the offering plate, or if it's a little more confidential, out in the foyer there is a locked prayer box that you can place it in there as well. If you're a visitor, also right there beside the prayer cards, there is a visitor card, and you can fill that out and include your email, and we'll be able to keep you up to date about the activities and opportunities here at the church. Today, our theme, as you can see in the worship service, is about waiting on the Lord. And I'm thankful for Gay, too. I want to just share a word of appreciation to her, letting me pick out some of the songs today and next Sunday as it comes to my final Sundays with you. But we're listening to that advice from the Word of God about in times of crisis or in times of transition, in times of trouble, in times that are even good transitions, the most vital thing we can do is wait on the Lord. And this is a two-part sermon that starts today. Part one, in healthy transition, is about waiting on God. Don't just do something, stand there. And next week's is part two of that sermon series on healthy transition. And it's the even more important lesson that the Lord is in control. If we can remember nothing else, always remember and trust that God is on his throne and he is in control. Let us continue to worship.
Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 27. We'll be reading a selection of verses from this psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. As we gather in this place today and reflect on those words of Scripture this morning, may we go to him knowing that he is with us this day. Let us pray. Father, we have sought your presence here this day, listening for your word that gives life, your word that heals the wounded heart, your word that speaks truth. Teach us your way, O Lord. Lead us on a well-lighted path. In the times when you are silent, grant us the courage to wait, trusting in your grace that brings your resurrection power to our dead ends. You are doing a new thing among us, though. It is hard to see at times what that new thing is. We bring to you our grieving over what is being lost, our fears about what the future might hold, our desire to love and serve you. By the power of your Holy Spirit, you are refining us, purifying our discipleship, pulling us into following Jesus in this new world in which we live. Grant us mercy and grace this day to trust you more deeply, for the only secure place is in your presence. You are our light and salvation, the stronghold of our life. That is why we gather in this place today. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join us singing our hymn of praise, hymn number 447, Trust and Obey. Please stand.
Yeah.
our ministry highlight is just a reminder. Many of you picked up coin banks at the beginning of this month and have been collecting your spare change for our youth summer mission trip, and we give you thanks for that. And many of those have already started coming in, but next Sunday, you are encouraged to bring those coin banks back and place it on the table in the vestibule as you come into worship or as you leave worship next week. The youth are in busy preparing both mentally, emotionally, and spiritually for this trip coming up this summer. If you get your newsletter, many of you got it by email this week, and there's also the copies of the newsletter in the foyer area this morning. You'll see more information about upcoming things the youth will be doing in preparation for this mission trip, so I encourage you to look at that this morning. But for those that are collecting coins, thank you in advance, and we look forward to getting those coin banks back next Sunday. Now let's stand again, let's worship again as we sing offertory hymn 502, Open My Eyes That I May See. Please stand. Time of worship where we return a portion of the gifts that you have so freely blessed us with, Father, we just ask that, as we just sung, that the Spirit move through not just the offerings that we place in the offering plate, but through our congregation as we seek to offer ourselves as offerings to you. Father, take these, bless them, and allow them to be used. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
invite you to hear again the words of Scripture from 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sorts of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. But in accordance to the promise, we wait for the new heavens and the new earth, where righteousness is at home. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pause and take this silent moment for your own confession as we continue in the Lord's presence in prayer. God, it is easy for us as we look at the world around us and we see polarization and division, war and conflict, genocide and famine, murder and crime are rampant. We find very few solutions in the world. It's easy for us to grow impatient and say, come on, Jehovah, hurry up, come and make all things new. Make all things right. We have seen the trickling in and the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, and oh God, we want more. Bring it all in. But you, oh Lord, are teaching us that it is you who are patient with us. Wanting none to perish, you are slow. Slow by our standards, but not by your own. And so, Lord, teach us this kind of faith, that we trust in your will and in your timing above our own. That we do not insist on our own ways, because that is not love. That we do not insist on our own time frame, because that is not love. But that our love for you might guide us to want what you want and when you want it. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
You are my strength.
That is the little things that mean so much to us that you provide. Little answers to prayers, little glimpses of encouragement in a song, or even as we're driving down the road to see a bird or a rainbow or a sunny sky, and there is hope. We see little words of encouragement from our friends that roll off their lips so effortlessly, but mean so much to hear something encouraging, something positive, something good. So it is we people of little expectation who come to your word just seeking something. It doesn't have to be grand or extravagant, Lord. Just share with us a little something to get us through, to change us, to deepen us, to encourage us and uplift us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. I chuckled as I read those passages from 2 Peter chapter 3, a very opening line, but do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. It reminded me of the famous Stephen Wright joke, where Stephen Wright tells the story of a man in conversation with the Almighty, and the man asks God, he says, God, how long is 1,000,000 years to you? And God replied, it's but a second. The man thought for a moment, and he said, God, how much is $1,000,000 to you? And God said, it's but a penny. The man thought a little bit longer, and then he said, God, could I have a penny? And God responded, sure, in a second. Our timing is not God's timing. We hear often that our ways are not his ways, but likewise, our timing is not God's timing. And much of 2 Peter, I know that we have listed there another passage for our sermon, and we'll get to that. But first, I want to just let you know all of these passages we've heard are in conversation with one another. The psalm that we read, this passage from Peter 2, and also from our Romans passage, they're all a part of the same dialogue about our timing is not God's timing. And how do we learn patience and to learn how to, as the Psalm 27 said, wait on the Lord. But here, Peter is just reminding us that that fact is so hard for us to overcome, that our timing is not God's timing. It was true in his day. It's far more true, I think, today, because we live in the instant microwavable age where everything is hot and fresh, your way right away. It's not just that we want faster internet. We want better internet. We want to be able to be in a plane miles above the earth and be able to get on the internet or make a phone call, and we want it to be fast and quick and easy. We want to be able to transfer money at the click of a button from one continent to the next. And we want instant grits and instant oatmeal. We want TV dinners, and we want something that we could eat and have ready in 5 minutes or less. There are whole cookbooks dedicated to 5-minute meals because we want everything and we want it right now. We are not patient people. And yet we are told our whole lives that the best things are worth waiting for, aren't we? The best things are worth waiting for. A good degree, a good education, a good mate for your life is worth waiting for. It's not worth it to rush in. Only fools rush in. Elvis taught me that long ago. The best things in life are worth waiting for because it takes time to make something that has the richness of layers to be good. Take, for example, just a stock, a common chicken stock. It takes at least 1.5 hours to make a good stock. And if you don't have a good stock, you're not going to have good rice or dressing or gravy or anything else for that matter. Little things, but to wait, the patience makes them so much more worth it. And I don't care what anybody says, it takes at least 50 minutes to make grits. Amen. There is no such thing as instant grits. Those are just not grits. It's something else. And yet, we, though we know this truth, we are so resistant to it because we are just so impatient to have what we want right now. I heard this line in a movie once. I don't remember the movie, but the line stuck with me. The man just simply said, "I want everything I want." What a clear statement of the human condition of selfishness and depravity. I want everything I want. I just want what I want. Give it to me now, please. And so when we hear words like this, that remember the fact that one day is like 1,000 years. One of the Lord's days is like 1,000s of our years, or 1,000 of our years is just like one day to the Lord. We cannot comprehend that. And we say, come on, Jehovah, hurry up. Get with the program, God. Where are you? Answer my prayers. Do you ever find yourself praying and saying, God, how long, oh Lord, do I have to wait? If you do, you can identify with much of the Psalms, can't you? How many Psalms begin with an accusation to God? Oh God, how long will the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? Oh God, how long will we wait for Messiah? Oh God, how long must we endure scorn and ridicule? Oh God, how long before you come and answer our supplications? Oh God, how long? But here, the writer turns it around and says, but what it is that God is being patient with you. You're not ready for what he has for you. You're not ready for what he has prepared for you. God could hurry up and bring the kingdom right now, but the world, your brothers and sisters, your cousins, your aunts, your neighbors, your co-workers, your fellow church folk, none of us are ready for it. And God knows when we will be ready. And God knows when the right time is set. And God knows when he will open the skies and melt away the elements and bring the kingdom forth. This is God talking about eternal things. But as the psalm reminded us, this is true of the little things in life as well. That it is so easy for us to be demanding of God for him to hurry up. But again and again and again, we are reminded that if we simply wait on the Lord, even in the little things, better things are to come. Because again, the best things in life are worth waiting for. Imagine you are the woman in this article I read many, many years ago, this lady who lived out west. I don't remember which state exactly it was. It's been a while, but she lived on a farm with her husband for 30 years. She married into it. And when she married this man, she loved him. She loved him till the day she died, but she did not love living out in the middle of nowhere. You picture some ranch out in Montana or something, or Wyoming. And it just wasn't her life, but for 30 faithful years, she lived there. She raised a family, but she never felt like that was the place where she wanted to spend the rest of her life. And so when the inevitable came and her husband, who she loved so dearly, passed away, it was not 2 days in the grave before she immediately sold the farm to the neighboring rancher who'd been wanting it for years and packed up her things and moved to a happier place. And she lived happily ever after. Or did she? For it was just a month or so after she sold and passed deed and packed up and moved away that she got word back from neighbors and friends that, you know, your neighbor who bought your place, he struck oil. That's the whole reason he'd been wanting the property for years, is he suspected there might be oil on that land. She said to herself, wait on the Lord. Now, I'm not sharing that story with you to suggest that had she waited a little bit longer, God would have revealed to her that this oil is all for her and that God's plan was to make her a millionaire and to give her everything her heart ever desired. It's just as possible that God would have, if she had waited on him, called her to give all of this oil-producing land to a charity that might take care of her for the rest of her life and put all of those millions of dollars of oil money to good use. Or it could be the Lord might have led her to set up a trust for her children and grandchildren, and they could have lived happily for the rest of their lives quite comfortably on all that oil money. I'm not saying I'd have any clue what God would have told her, but I know this because I know the human nature. I guarantee you, to the day she died, she was haunted by this simple question: what if? What if I just waited a little longer? She admitted that she did not spend time praying about it or searching the Lord's will. She didn't spend a lot of time even thinking about it. She just impulsively said, now is my moment of freedom. In this moment of crisis, she acted and she regretted it. What if? What if? Sometimes when we wait on the Lord, it doesn't necessarily mean things will be easier, though, does it? Some of the hardest decisions you will ever make in your life, some of the most painful sacrifices will come from having waited on the Lord. It's not all rainbows and cotton candy when you wait on God. Sometimes when we wait, it comes to suffering. But I'm thinking about that woman and that question, what if? What if? 2 Peter reminds us to slow down. Psalm 127 reminds us to slow down, to seek the Lord in this place. When I was a missionary in Charleston, South Carolina, before we went on any kind of project, it was our custom to gather up hand in hand in the parking lot of the Baptist building and have a prayer circle where anybody could offer up a prayer before we went out to do our mission project. And one particular Saturday, we were planning a backyard Bible club in this little government housing project called Bayside. Bayside was a pretty rough place. Pretty tough kids lived there. But we had a big dream for them. We'd been in that community for several years, and we established relationships, and we thought this was the right time to do something big. Hot dogs, hamburgers, jump castles, cotton candy, everything you could imagine in a great backyard Bible club. Except we were running desperately late. Nothing was showing up on time. Nothing was coming together easily. And this, to you, may seem like such little things, but when that's all you're doing and you're working from 5 a.m. to midnight every day, everything like that becomes a crisis. So looking back, I realized it was not a crisis. But in the moment, we felt like this was an absolute disaster. Everything was falling apart. Nothing was going right. Where was the cotton candy machine? Where were the clowns and the puppets? Everything was coming and showing up too late. And even our director, Cody, was showing up too late. And he scrawled his tires into the parking lot, jumped out, and said, all right, load it up. Everything's already there. We don't have to pray. Let's go. It was like the record scratched in the movies. Another one of our brothers in the ministry, Chris, raised an eyebrow and just said, as he often did in his little quiet little quims of wisdom, he just said, we ain't got time not to pray. It's a reversal of logic that's going on here in 2 Peter. The world tells you, you don't have time for prayer. We got to get to what's important, the ministry. Whereas 2 Peter says, you don't have time not to pray. Slow down. Stop. Or in Henry Blackaby's wisdom, from which the title of this sermon comes, in Experiencing God, he says, it is the human nature to say, don't just stand there, do something. Have you ever heard that saying? Don't just stand there, do something. And yet the logic and the wisdom of God, which is the foolishness of man, by the way, but the wisdom of God says, don't just do something, stand there. Be still and know that I am God. Wait on the Lord. Do not act without a calling. Someone once told me there's a big difference between being self-driven and God-led. The difference between self-driven and God-led is self-driven means that we always are trying to solve problems, trying to push an agenda forward, always trying to act, always trying to come up with the next plan, always moving the events and the activities and the ideologies forward for advancement, for success. But God-led means you don't act until you know how to act. Or as my mama used to say, don't speak unless you're spoken to. I think that applies to God and God's purposes for us as well. Don't speak unless you're spoken to. I frustrate Gay with that probably all the time. When, you got the sermon title yet? Not yet. Don't speak unless you're spoken to. Wait on the Lord. And when we finally are beaten down into that reality that we don't have the best plans, we don't have the best ideas, and sometimes our immediate reactions can be the worst things possible, then God is starting to shape us like moldable clay. Then he starts to mold us and say, you know what, I know you like that girl that you've been dating so much, or that guy is so cute, but wait, I've got something better for you. I know that job looks so enticing and the pay is so much better, but wait, I've got a different purpose for your life. And you're actually going to make less, but you'll be happier because you'll have joy. I know that this situation, this church looks so much flashier and it's got such a great light show, and they've even got a smoke machine, but wait, I've got something better, something real, something genuine. So I would tell you that if you end up finding yourself on a search committee, or if you end up finding yourself on some leadership team, do not just act, but be reactive to the Spirit of God. Wait on the Lord, and he will lead you. And I want to close with this passage from Romans that I think tells us that as godly people, when we wait on the Lord, it's not passive. It's actually active. That there are certain things we can do no matter what we know or don't know about God's will. While we're waiting for God's person, while we're waiting for God to provide the next pastor, even a First Baptist church, visitors don't rush away. New members don't fall to the side. Old members don't fear and worry and clench your hands and say, when are they going to get this thing filled? But instead, here's what we are to be busy with in times of transition. Verse 9 of chapter 12, let love be genuine. Right off the gate, what a winner. Love each other. Love on each other. Say encouraging things to that search committee, to that HR team, because most of the time all they ever hear is the negative. Love on them. Lift them up. Pray for them. Hate what is evil. Don't put up with it. Hold fast to what is good. If you could do nothing else, do this. Name and claim the blessings of the good things that God is doing all around you. How easy it is to be soaked up in that sour marinade of negativity, where we can only see the bad things, or the things that aren't going the way we want them to go, or the things that aren't going the direction we hope they would go. And yet there is so much good around us, so much good to be thankful for. Hold fast to that. Again, love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. So many times we compete against each other in church life, but in all the wrong ways. Here it says, try to out-honor each other. Try to out-serve one another. Out-love each other. Do not lag in zeal. In other words, don't say, well, there's no pastor this Sunday, I can take the day off, or that golf course looks mighty green this morning, or I bet the fish are biting. But don't lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. That's the reality that is always with us, that there is always hope. God gives hope to the hopeless. And there is no such thing in God's kingdom as a hopeless situation. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. We're actually told that suffering is blessing for the Christian. It's something we just have to go through. It's our Saturday moment where we have to sit in that tomb of darkness alone. It's not Easter yet, but Easter is coming. Persevere in prayer and contribute to the needs of the saints. And I love this last one, extend hospitality to the stranger. There's a lot to be doing while we're doing nothing but waiting, isn't there? There's a lot to do when we're standing there waiting on the Lord. Would you pray with me? Almighty, everlasting God, the God of eons and eternity, who is timeless, would you make this word timely for us here and now, that we place it in our hearts, that it might guide us, that we might be your people who are shaped by its truth. In Christ's name, amen. Would you stand together, if you were able, as we respond to the word of God in song? Receive this blessing as we go. May the one who is eternal guide your steps with perfect clarity in the week to come, lifting up your face to the heavens that you might see forever where your help comes from. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.